Me too. Three.
Me.
Oh.
La la la. Blah 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 blah. La 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 la.
The makeup guy didn't show up. I feel naked.
Again.
Put some clothes on. That would be the wardrobe guy.
Pierre.
This is the 400th episode that he hasn't shown up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still not here.
Rats.
Tectorama episode 405 for May 14th, 2014. Packet Turtle.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Tectorama.
Remember when?
Tectorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
Wait, where is she going?
Over there, in the media corner.
Where's she coming from?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew.
Welcome to Technorama for May 14th, 2014. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. With me, just to my left this time, I'm messing with you on the camera. She's not to my right. It's my daughter Julie, home from college today.
Hello. I'm here.
A woman of many words.
Yeah, that's right. Wait a minute. What are you doing home?
College is done. We moved into our new apartment, and I wanted to say hello to the cats.
Oh, okay.
Hello, there you go. All you cats out there in podcast.
Wait a minute. College is done, and you have an apartment?
Yep. We moved from our house to an apartment. Well, we moved all the stuff anyway. We didn't set everything up yet.
And that other male voice you hear is Craig. Hi, Craig.
I'm doing good. I'm having a conversation, Julie. Leave us alone.
We had to go out and buy toilet paper at 9 at night because we didn't have any.
Ah, welcome to home ownership. It's not a home until
That's
you're
why
fixing
Walmart's
a toilet.
Open 24 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a home until you're fixing a toilet.
Oh, we already fixed another house toilet.
I did that when I was visiting my new home. I owned it for 3 whole days in Arizona. And we were fixing a toilet the first time I showed up.
Breaking it in.
Well, it's a home now.
Yeah, well, at least the guest house is mine. I haven't done anything to the main house yet.
You have to decorate the... Yeah. You know, this is kind of funny. You're going to move to Arizona.
Yes.
Live in the pool house while a tenant of yours still lives in the house that was a previous owner.
Well, he'll be gone by the time we get there in September.
I was opening a bank account, and you don't know how hard of a time it was to tell them an address. Because I was moving addresses. I had a mailing address that was getting done at the end of the semester.
It's on the corner. That's all you have to say.
That'll be valid until, the blue
one. I live down on the corner.
Right. Let's get on with the show. Coming up in this episode, we have Lazy Astronaut, a follow-up to Footloose. Okay. And NSA monitors the Earth. All that and more coming up right after this.
This is Tornado Tim, storm chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Technorama, Chuck and Craig, 101 high five.
The Technorama, you make me be sedated. The Technorama,
Technorama. 101.
On this day in history for May 14th, 2014, This is the 134th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 231 days remaining in the year. It was on this date in 1607 that Jamestown, Virginia is settled, apparently before it was unsettled, as the first, as an English colony. That's unexciting.
It was unsettling.
That same day in 1796, Edward Jenner, administers the first smallpox vaccination.
Hooray!
Yay. And the Lewis and Clark expedition departs from Camp Dubois and begins its historic journey. Historic journey by traveling up the Missouri River in 1804.
I wonder if they brought their Sacagawea dollars with them.
Yeah.
Today in 1939, Lena Medina, I love that name, becomes the youngest confirmed mother in medical history at the tender age of 5. Now, somebody's hormones are wholly screwed up, and somebody ought to be arrested as the father.
I don't know if I'm impressed or I'm unsettled by that.
The Ermolayev Year 2, a long-range Soviet medium bomber, has its first flight on this date in 1940.
And 41 years ago today, Skylab, the United States' first space station, is launched.
I remember watching that. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Danish astronomer Peter Horrible, born on this date in 1679.
English mathematician William Emerson, also born today in 1701.
And German mathematician and educator Rudolf Lipschitz, I got it, was born today in 1832.
One of Albert Einstein's sons. I think he only had one son, so that's kind of silly. Hans Albert Einstein. Happy birthday to Hans. Was born on this date in 1904. He went on to become an engineer and educator.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's okay if he can't be a super scientist like his dad.
Your turn.
Also born on this date in 1952, American colonel, pilot, and astronaut Donald R.
McMonagall.
McMonagall. Not to be confused with McGonagall.
Sounds like some kind of evil character in an animated film. Computer scientist Pravnov Mystery. Is that right? Mystery. Wow, that's cool. Turn celebrates.
Very nice.
Celebrates his 33rd birthday today. There we go.
And finally, computer programmer and businessman, co-founder of Facebook, your friend and mine. You don't send him email? Mark Zuckerberg is now 30.
Wow.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for May 14th, 2014. Now Craig has to
He's got $1 million for each year of his life.
Really?
I have been programming longer than he's been alive.
I've been breathing longer than he's been.
I was coding before you ordered diapers, you poopy pants.
Hey, I did find Harrison and I watched the first two Back to the Futures again today. We didn't have time to finish the whole, trilogy, do the hat trick. But I did notice another little Easter egg, which I haven't seen mentioned before, although it probably has been posted somewhere.
Yes.
When Marty's standing there in the second episode, he's standing there in the town square and Jaws comes out.
Yeah.
Over his head. Well, the marquee on the movie theater, it says Jaws 19. And over the side, it says directed by Max Spielberg. And I went, Max? Wait a minute. I had to look it up. It is Steven Spielberg's son, Max.
How old is Max now?
He's probably, I don't know. He's probably, well, let's go
probably
look.
Like 30 something. You look Max that up and
Spielberg.
I love watching old movies because you can always spot something you haven't spotted before. Raiders of the Lost Ark was on tonight on TV and I was watching it for a while. You know, the scene with the sword guy that he, takes out the gun and shoots him. One of those classic scenes from Raiders.
Right.
I noticed how fast some extra picked up the sword. The guy gets shot.
Really?
He's laying on the ground, and within half a second, one of the sideline guys swoops in, grabs the sword, and is waving it around.
That's funny.
That must have been his job. When he falls down, grab the sword. I can only imagine how the direction went on that. So how old is Max?
He's 29.
So he could be a director.
Sure.
He's got one more year, right? Because didn't they go forward into the year 2015?
Yep. Next year we should have.
Well, I did pull it. You know what? Yes, he could. It was obviously he's 29, so yes.
We need to fit in 18 more Jaws before that, though, or 17 more Jaws.
We'll do the Jaws short.
Yeah, better hurry up. Do one a month.
Yeah.
it's like a novella.
Yeah.
The shark ate somebody. The people got mad. They caught the shark, and another shark was born.
You know, it'd be funny if he made a short indie film, Jaws 19. Yeah. Just do it.
Why not? Nike came out with the shoes, didn't they?
Yeah. Actually, the shoes are supposed to come out next year.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, good news. The shoes are supposed to be out next year.
Oh, wow.
Finally.
Hey, by the way.
We'll do all the other fashion stuff too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I told Harrison. I said, hey, we were watching it and they showed Griff and his two cohorts sitting there mocking Marty when he's standing on the water with the hope. And I said, look, Harrison, that's how we're supposed to dress next year.
Yep. I'm waiting for the double ties myself.
The double ties?
Marty had like two ties.
There's like two neckties and double neckties.
Super classy.
Since we're going back into the future, we have a story of 32 years. After 32 years, a town lifts ban on arcade games. Yeah, very nice. This is from...
That was, by the way, this relates to my Footloose message at the beginning.
Ah, that's what it was. Okay.
Yes.
This is from the Newser website.
The News.
A Massachusetts town has decided it's time to finally lift a ban on arcade games it established when Ms. Pac-Man was new. At a town meeting, the residents of Marshfield voted 203 to 175. I'll bet that was an interesting public access channel day.
Why is it so close?
To lift the ban that was introduced in 1982 and went almost all the way to the Supreme Court when business owners challenged it. The court declined to take on the case. Over a game? Preposterous. The ban was voted by residents who feared arcade games would bring an undesirable element to the small town and upheld it in 1994 and 2011. So it's been challenged recently. Quote, This is a progressive step in that it protects life in a small town from urban-type honky-tonk environment.
Next up, they're voting on dancing.
One resident told the Christian Science Monitor at the time, quote, the fewer distractions of that type, the easier it is to transfer my ideas and values to my youngster. Brainwashing.
Youngster, honky-tonk.
Yeah. They're with it, man.
They're with it.
Soon television will be allowed. Witchcraft, I say.
That vote was so close, though. 175 to 203?
You can have my Atari when you steal it from my cold, dead, buckled shoes.
I mean, it's a decisive margin, but you're right. It is pretty close, I imagine.
That's ridiculously close. That wasn't the original vote. That was today.
Now, we mustn't...
Yeah. Mustn't what?
We mustn't judge other cultures.
Wait a minute. That's what we do here.
Now, 9 years later, he tells me.
We judge all cultures. That's what this equally. Whole
show is. Didn't I make the mission statement for the show?
Did we have one?
Episode zero, man. Go back and listen.
Oh, okay.
Every show needs an episode zero.
It's funny that they're voting about, it specifically says arcade games, which, you know.
So maybe.
Sadly enough, there aren't that many, floating around.
Anymore. So the big question is, now that the ban is lifted, are they going to open a retro arcade with Ms. Pac-Man and Missile Command and all those? Or are they going to just allow people to buy an Xbox One or something?
I think home gaming must have been allowed.
Looks like does that pornography count? On your VCR.
VCR. Yeah. VHS porn tapes are now outlawed.
What?
They don't allow VCRs in this town, apparently.
Are you being serious? Did it say that in there?
Ha ha! I got him. I'm not the only gullible person on this podcast.
I'm leaving. Smart. Yeah.
It's better than a dumbass.
Perhaps.
Our second one is more of a newsy story. If you're not careful, you might learn something on Technorama. Scientists have reported they found the sun's long-lost sibling. An international team of scientists have discovered what they believe to be the sun's long-lost brother. That is, a star born about 4.5 billion years ago. Wait, I have to say that right.
4.5 billion years ago.
From the same cloud gas as our sun, only it's bigger and hotter.
Like almost every other big brother.
Stop picking on me, man. That's why ours ran away.
Yeah.
Researchers say that the solar sibling has the same chemical composition as our sun, and that the two stars were born at the same time in the same stellar nursery. The newly discovered star is known in the scientific community as HD 162826.
Hey, I think George Lucas named that.
Well, at least it's in HD.
Yeah,
everything's in HD these days, even my toothpaste.
It's like THX 1138.
IEEE 11. Never mind. Yeah. The long lost brother is 15% bigger than the star located in the center of our solar system. It finds its place 110 light years away in the constellation of Hercules.
How is that from the same cloud then?
Well,
big cloud.
You know what stellar nurseries are, right?
Yeah.
When an earlier star blows up like a supernova, all that matter's left around, and it can start to condense and coalesce. They don't have to be near each other to do that.
So it's more like our cousin.
The stars start to drift apart. So
yeah, we're also expanding.
Pleiades is a case of several stars that form from the same solar cluster, but they're starting to spread out too.
Somebody's been watching Cosmos.
Yes, I have. Neil's my friend.
Actually, you know what? There's been several episodes I've come away going, oh yeah, I didn't realize that. There's always something.
The thing I like is they cover the stories of the scientists who were important, but never got mentioned. They never got the notoriety as an Einstein or Copernicus or something like that. It's amazing. This lady figured out the mid-oceanic ridge, and everyone went, women don't know anything about science.
About oceanic ridges.
You got to remember, that 75 years ago, plate tectonics was not even conceived. And galaxies hadn't been really thought of as galaxies. They were just fuzzy smudges, like nebulae is what they were. So, I mean,
remind me of the names. I'm trying to remember who it was. In the last episode of Cosmos that I saw, it was that the lady, she joined the harem, so to speak. The other ladies doing the star work.
Yes.
And she actually brought together a lot of what they've kind of figured out, but didn't realize what they were looking at, like the temperature of the stars. And then she figured out, the composition of the sun, the sun was not of the same material as the Earth. And she wrote that big old thesis about it. And then she was like, blown off by the scientist. Well, he turned around and gave her credit, which I thought
was
pretty big of him.
Yeah, that was pretty big. That was cool.
Because, a lot of times people just go, oh, yeah, I figured that out, and take credit for it.
Exactly. So nice to see. Anyway, we got off on a Cosmos thing. I guess we're liking the new show then, right?
I love it. Actually, I wish it would just keep going because even Harrison's picking up on it. I mean, we've been watching them all together.
So much for our media corner. Anyway. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have one birthday this week, and it is the day of the release of this show, May 14th. Happy birthday to JPCJ.
JC. He's got a naming scheme much like the stars.
JC Penny. I don't know.
JPCJ 3026.
11A.
Yeah. 11A.
We put some decimal points in there, it'll be a legal document of some type.
Right.
If you want to be on the birthday calendar, oh, happy birthday, JPCJ. I hope that stands for something. John Paul.
JC Penny.
James. John Paul Jesus. No. Anyway. Happy birthday to you and happy birthday to everybody else who happens to be this week, right here between May 14th and May 20th. Between the erasers and the chiclets. That's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Okay, name the reference, Julie.
Oh my gosh. No, I can picture the movie. That's the, with the thermos and the chair. And
yes,
the...
we were. That's two quotes from the same movie today. Oh my gosh. This is scary.
I can't remember the name, though.
You want me to sing the thermos song?
No, I know the thermos song. Okay, Auntie Marty can do it.
Okay. The jerk.
The jerk.
The jerk.
Oh.
All-time favorite. One of my all-time favorites. Happy birthday to you. If you want to be noted and made a jerk, I mean, get over to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki.
You
want to
be a noted jerk?
And get on the calendar so you won't be a jerk.
Extra special thermos for your birthday.
We could pick out a thermos for your birthday.
Sure.
With a cup built right in.
With vinyl and stripes.
Maybe do lunchbox and then you can get the thermos.
Hacks and strange stories. We are full of strangeness tonight. And NASA has now started streaming. Let's see what the count is up to.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
I thought it was NSA. Just kidding.
NSA live streaming of everything.
Yeah, they just decided to scan the Earth.
NASA is now Ustreaming to, well, to Ustream from the ISS, which is kind of cool. Because now you can watch it go around and see what's going on outside. But right now, I believe it's black. I don't know what's going
on. Nope. I just pulled it up. It's actually the Earth. You can see the Earth down there.
Maybe my bandwidth isn't keeping up. This morning, maybe, what, about 12? Oh, there it is. They turned it around.
Beautiful.
The Earth was on the top of the screen before.
It's a little meta, don't you think, that we're actually looking at ourselves?
Wave.
Hey.
I can see
the biggest selfie in the world.
Stand way back. They're not over us right now. But it's kind of cool because you can see it going in real time. I'm not going to crush my bandwidth or something might happen.
So the biggest selfie in the world is not of this world.
I'm surprised Ustream is holding up. They must have gotten better servers and things.
Hmm.
Oh, you can see the Soyuz module right there in the upper right. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. This is really cool, though.
One of two. I think they have two on there.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the article, actually, I don't know if you want to read. You want to go for it?
Sure, I'll go for it. The other thing that's kind of cool is the number of viewers about 7 hours before we're recording this was around 2 million and now they're up to 14 million. So
it's because they changed from that black screen to the Earth.
That's nice. Daydreaming about being an astronaut just got a whole lot easier. NASA is now live streaming views of Earth from space captured by four commercial high-def video cameras that were installed on the exterior of the ISS last month. I wonder who had to shinny out there and bolt on the Logitech webcam. The project known as High Definition Earth Viewing, or HDEV. Oh, more AI high definition. Very cool. Aims to test how cameras perform in the space environment.
That's the excuse.
You can see the live HD views of Earth from space here. Well, if you follow our show note links, it will take you right to the Ustream page, and you will see the world's largest selfie, as Craig said. The cameras are enclosed in temperature-specific housings and are exposed to the harsh radiation of space. NASA officials wrote in an online description of the HDEV experiment. Analysis of the effect of space on the video quality over the time HDEV is operational may help engineers decide which cameras are best types to use in future missions. Some of the camera's components were designed by high school students as part of high schools united with NASA to create hardware according to the NASA description of the experiment. The students are also operating in an environment. I can just see some kid, a Ralphie from Simpsons, sticking a webcam in a cardboard box.
Space. Do you know what, though? Yeah. One of my roommates is working on a project. I don't know if it's with NASA or if it's with a private company. They're working on a drill and all the parts involved for a Europa mission to drill underneath the ice. And look around under there. And
why don't you just use radiation and it'll just melt itself?
Yeah.
Not fast enough, maybe? I don't know.
Stupid drill.
Well, how fast?
Actually, I think
it's going to take him a few years to get out there. Who's in a hurry now?
Then he said that they've got a fiber optic cable carrying all the power underneath it. They're going to let it freeze and then they're going to have to drill back up. but it's what really if, a what large scale.
What if the ice
project.
Is actually thinner than they think, and it's like the ice fishermen when they go out here? Whoa!
The ship lands and it just goes
right through.
Well, that experiment's going to start out.
We
quick.
Learned something.
We learn something new every day.
Maybe. So he's working on this drill, or he does somebody
it's
doing it?
It's a school project, and they're going to take the best ideas and try to incorporate them. Or so. It's not for sure, but it's they gave him a project.
Oh, that's cool. Pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You get to work on that. No, your friend.
I don't get to. My friend does.
Your friend does.
I'm just making a charcoal kiln.
My cousin, since we're talking about
you're
Touch
doing,
of Fame.
Wait, you know, you're doing what, Julie? You're making charcoal what?
I'm making charcoal. Large-scale charcoal production for Benin in West Africa.
For grill-outs this summer or something?
In West Africa, that's
in West
right.
Africa.
Oh.
Antelope
oh,
is right. good smoked.
Antelope.
You ever have lion jerky?
It's pretty cool because it's a lot cleaner than the wood that they use, and on a large scale, it can be financially beneficial, or, you know, you can make a profit,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't sound as cool as NASA.
That's cool.
Are you making it there so you don't have to ship it, or are you going to make
oh,
it
Oh, we're
ship
making
it?
Plans and instructions.
Oh, okay.
So you know how they were looking for Flight 370, right, in the Indian Ocean?
Yeah.
For about 2 months?
Yep.
Not trying to make light of a tragic situation. The man wireless, what do they call them? The tow things that they were looking, the sonar detectors that they were looking for the mm-hmm. pieces and parts, those orange... yellowish orange capsules they were pulling behind the boat. They
right.
were made by a company called Phoenix. And my cousin was the lead engineer and designer of those when he was at Phoenix.
Neat.
Marco. So that's my touch of news fame right now, too.
I have nothing.
Then we'll take a break.
Yeah.
And we will come back with a couple of Media Corner stories and something I found while I was bored this afternoon. All that and nothing more coming up right after this.
This is not the set of numbers that you're looking for. 157, 163, 225, 151, 101.
What is that? Today's winning lotto numbers from Bruce Barr? Suddenly we've got Dr. Floyd's Imagination Nation Ranger secret message crossing over with the Technorama. Does anybody know what's going on in this show anymore? Because I'm lost and it's our show.
That's the fun part.
Hello, this is Prubert.
And this is Dr. Dave.
From Two Wheel Cafe. And you're listening to Technorama. 100101010101. High five.
Welcome back. We want to remind you that every week we do this show live on Google Plus Hangouts. We have a few people watching us tonight. Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern or whatever time that is in your part of the world, we want to see and hear from you like we do. Oh, hey, look, Weber just joined us. Perfect timing, Mr. Weber. We'll go from the bottom up then. Mr. Weber, yeah. Tim Elliott, The Giant, Mark Shepard, Mad Marv, Craig Gru, me, and Captain Rootbeer are all there hanging out, having a little conversation on the side.
And Chanserv.
And Chanserv is always there.
Yeah, he better be.
Again, 9:30 Pacific. No, 9:30 Eastern. Oh, I have been on the West Coast way too much this month. 9:30 mm-hmm. Eastern time, and we will see you there. I apologize for those of you that are sleeping in Europe right now. You can listen on the podcast, or you can watch on YouTube. Go over to YouTube.
I'm not apologizing for nothing.
I apologize for the last 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
This show should be one big apology.
Yeah, from here on out, that's our motto. There's our mission statement.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
I just thought of something. Should we redo that now that Blockhead is going out of business?
Blockbuster's gone, man. Yeah,
we now have an artifact.
What are you doing? We've been
using that for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know what. Well, that means you got to do the change the media corner and all that stuff.
Man.
We'll talk about that in another 10 years.
Wow, we have our own time capsule now.
You are your own time capsule.
Welcome to Netflix.
Yeah.
Would you like to browse 1,000 useless videos?
Yeah.
2 hours later. Oh, wait, you have to do it like SpongeBob.
2 hours later.
All right, we have, oh, this is a cute video. I loved this, Craig. Thank you very much. Follow our show notes. Go over to chuckchat.com/technorama and check out the show notes for this show when it gets posted. This is an animated short about a lazy delivery guy in outer space. And it's very interesting. He's delivering packages for Johnny Express. And I love how his outfit looks just like the spaceship, kind of. It's got that light bulb sort of shape to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ruin it, but here's a little snippet. It's 2150. There are all sorts of aliens living throughout space. Johnny is a space delivery man who delivers it to different planets to deliver packages. Johnny is lazy, and his only desire is to sleep in his autopilot spaceship. When the spaceship arrives at the destination, all he has to do is simply deliver the box. However, it never goes as planned. Johnny encounters strange and bizarre planets and always seems to cause trouble on his delivery route, or route, if you prefer. Will he be able to finish his mission without trouble? I really hope this turns into a little series. I want to see more of this.
Is it just one right now?
I believe it's just one right now. Have you found more, Craig?
No, to be honest with you, I haven't looked for the other ones, but I'd love to see several of them like this.
The way this first one started out, I can truly see this. I shared this on Facebook earlier today. So if you're following me, you probably saw the link to Johnny Express. It's worth it. Go look. It's only about 5.5 minutes long. Like I said, well worth it.
Hey, by the way, see how many times you can view the Johnny Express logo everywhere.
Oh, man. It's on all the boxes in the spaceship. And
it's right there on the soft drinks. It looks like he's got in a cooler or something and on the boxes. And it's on everything.
All right. You also included an article about Flash Gordon, the 80s version.
Yes.
It's a very long article, and I'm not going to read this whole thing. The weirdest things you never knew about the making of Flash Gordon. It goes into the crew. It goes into the cast. It goes into the set. It goes into behind-the-scenes stuff. Lots and lots of pictures from the movie with, of course, IO9 commentary on the pictures. Like, what was someone thinking when they came up with this?
Yeah, right.
They have, what do we got? The cast on the set. We have visual effects.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you can't tell that's green screen, can
no.
you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about this movie is, reading from this article, it was so slapped together.
Yeah.
Is basically what it boils down to. Is it still turned into a fun movie, you know, in a sense. It's not the best. It's not an epic by any stretch.
No, it's a campy one, definitely.
Yes, but it's a fun movie. Regardless, yeah. I especially love the Hawkman, you know, but it's just funny how it all really came together and sort of worked, you know.
Let me read just the first paragraph or so you get an idea of what's coming here. It basically all started, as most things do, with George Lucas. The popularity of Star Wars made science fiction big business. Ironically, before Lucas made Star Wars, he asked Italian film producer Dino De Laurentiis for the rights to make a film based on the 1930s action-adventure comic strip icon Flash Gordon. De Laurentiis shrewdly poo-pooed Lucas' request. In turn, Lucas went on to create his own little-known action-adventure space epic, Star Wars. After the success of Star Wars, De Laurentiis knew it was time to film his Flash Gordon saga. Originally, Dino hired Nicholas Rogue, the man who fell to Earth, to write and direct the film. Rogue secluded himself and consumed as many Flash Gordon comics as possible, saying, "It took me a long time, but suddenly I tore into what I felt he was doing. It was extraordinary, and I became so excited at the idea that I said to Dino, 'Look, I'll go away and I'll write.
I think I know what you'd like to do with it.
I think I know what you'd like to do with it also.
It took me a year, almost exactly a year, till I got down how I wanted to make Flash Gordon. And I nipped back and said to Tino, look, this is it. It's ready.
All right. De Laurentiis saw Rogue's vision of the film and responded,
I don't want to make that picture.
Yeah.
Please stay and I'll tell you the picture I want to make.
Oh, no.
Which just goes to show that Rogue probably should have picked up the phone and run a few ideas past De Laurentiis before spending a year working on it. Either way, Rogue left the project. Now, when it gets down to the cast, I like who the other people were that were up for acting positions. Do you know who was in here? Who they wanted?
Who they wanted for what? Flash?
Yeah.
Or other people in general?
Who the actors were. The cast.
Oh, who?
Sam J. Yeah. Jones was not the actor the studio considered first. Originally, De Laurentiis wanted Kurt Russell, who turned it down because of the one-dimensional nature of the character. A young Arnold Schwarzenegger was denied the role because of his thick accent.
Yeah, it needs to be an all-American kind of guy.
Mongo, what are you doing? I'll be back.
Ming.
So we ended up with Jones, who apparently got the job solely from his appearance on The Dating Game.
Bachelor number 3. What kind of rocket would you fly around in?
Rocket would you fly around in? Hey, by the way, seeing Sam Jones on the movie Ted was kind of funny. Have you seen Ted?
I did not see Ted. It just did not intrigue me.
Well, Sam Jones appears in there and...
older Sam Jones?
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane, his character, was loved Flash Gordon.
That's what I saw from the links on the side.
Yeah, so he ended up with being a pretty decent part in there. It was funny. He wasn't afraid to make fun of himself, let's put it that way.
Trivia question, who played Flash Gordon in the old movie serials?
Buster Crabbe.
Oh, very good. Double trivia question. What commercial or what product did he endorse years later when he was an old man?
Who? Buster Crabbe?
Yeah. Icy Hot.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh.
This is Buster Crabbe for Icy Hot. Like, whoa, Flash, you really let yourself go. But anyway.
By the way, I loved Brian Blessed in here.
You know, I haven't seen this movie, and if I did, I must have blanked it out. I think I've seen bits and pieces.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You haven't seen Flash Gordon?
No.
All the way through?
At least I can say all the way through. I think I've seen bits and pieces.
Well, Brian Blessed is the Hawkman.
All right.
And you know what's funny is I...
Where else is... That name is familiar. Where else have we seen him?
He's an English actor. I've seen him on Blackadder.
Okay.
You ever seen Blackadder?
Yes. It's like Monty Python.
Yes.
Sort of. It's sort of. Wait, Blackadder is Mr. Bean. What's his name?
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson is a character, like in different periods of English history. For each season, he's a different, like a different descendant of himself. So he's, you know, anyway, Brian Blessed is like his dad or something in the first series. And yes, it was, you know, I was like, I love this guy. His expressions on his face, and he's just got that, he's got that kind of Viking attitude, you know? So,
okay.
Anyway.
I like reading the pictorial commentary. When I see stuff like this, I can't help but wonder what this person was thinking right at this time. There's another one by a third of the way down the article. It says, good to see that the Time Lords have a sense to show up at one of Ming's parties.
What? Oh, yeah.
Go there and read that. Click on the numbers just below the pictures. They're funny. Must watch Flash. Hey, you know, while I was looking around, I thought, you know, the way you spell your name, K-R-E-G, is different. Yep. And I just had to wonder if there is a Craig.com. Or, you know, I'm sure you probably already looked and saw that it was taken. Do you know what they do?
Do I know what they do?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. So there's a Craig Tool Company.
Prove Craig Information Systems.
Yeah.
Your competitive adventure begins with a vision.
Okay. Okay, right. Chuck, you found me out. This is
Craig
actually my company.
Delivers innovative technology that produces the fast. Their little scroller's going by too fast. Life offers no guarantees. Craig does.
Craig does.
For more than 30 years, Craig Information Systems has helped healthcare organizations improve their financial performance. Proven leader in healthcare decision support. And your competitive advantage begins with a vision. Enterprise vision.
Mm-hmm.
Delivers.
Yeah, it's not as good as X-ray vision, but it helps.
I don't know. I'm more for Klingon bird of prey vision, but whatever. Whatever floats your proverbial Twinkie. Starfleet boat.
Oh.
Ship, one might say.
Whatever creams your Twinkie.
I like that term. We must use it.
What, the Twinkie one?
No, the word is ship.
Whatever floats your ship.
But look, right below, what does it say? What does it say right below the logo? It says Craig Information Systems on their banner graphic. And right below it, tell them, Julie.
101.
That's right.
They just have a bunch of binary in
there. It's a bunch of binary, but that's what's highlighted right at the top.
Yeah, there's a country covering up the rest of it.
I see that number everywhere.
The Matrix.
Maybe. I can see it. Maybe we had an impact on one of their web designers. I'm going to give an homage to Craig.
Yeah, there's also, let's see, Craig dot, there's a,
then I have to look.
Tool company, Step. Craig Tool. Com. See, Craig
Step. Tool. Step.com, Microsoft certified system engineer, Microsoft certified system administrator. Looks, apparently That's this weird. Is a training site. This is a horrible train. Oh, ugh. Oh my gosh.
Which one?
What was what this, are you looking made at in HTML1? Step.com.
With the numbers on the side, it's beautiful.
Oh, this is, it couldn't be uglier if it had, and a 404 on the family tree. Apparently your family tree is not fine.
Oh, you know what? I do remember this. I've seen this guy's website because I looked around it and I said, this is cool. Somebody else named Step and sort of look. Actually, I found several. But then I clicked on one link and it had the baby flipping you off and I was like, okay. What?
I went to view page source, but I guess I don't see any page source on this. It's kind of weird.
No, this site has been like this.
Oh, there it is. It's down on a different window. Sorry. So what's this written in? Welcome to the Step website.
This has been like this for years. 2002. It's been that's for 12 years.
Jeez,
this is horrible.
There's a cat with a external leg support. Picture.
What? Like,
where?
You're on a different
like
site.
Broke
than
his leg.
Under the links?
I'm on step.com.
Go to step.com, okay. Go to album.
Oh, album.
Go to album. And the default picture's at the bottom. Pumbaa the cat.
Oh, the cat.
That looks like Todd with a.
I'm sure that cat's no longer
got,
with us.
He's got a. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this still, we apologize. We have just gone
visual
randomly bored. We're looking to see what we can find on the web that might relate to Craig, and this is awful.
Do you recognize any of the names, Craig?
Christmas 2001.
No.
These Burke, are his Walter, photo Step. Albums. Oh! Red text on a green background. My eyes are bleeding.
Christmas 2001.
I do not know these people, but Christ. You know what's? But somehow they're probably related to me, and I'll tell you why. Because I did find another guy, or actually, I was found by another guy. On Facebook, and they spell their name without the last E.
Okay.
So it's STEPP. And turns out, yes, my family either dropped the E or added the E. I'm not sure which way it went at some point. And yeah, we are related, distantly, of course, but he knew all about my family history because they've been researching.
That's cool.
Which was kind of
Found out from my uncle that our family changed their name too. I guess we used to have two M's about four generations back.
Huh. How do you go about changing your
name? Well, also,
the dad
I'll tell
has
you,
it, but the son doesn't. That's what's odd. Huh. It's not like dad changed his name. All the rest of the family from like.
Keep in mind when people were keeping written records, not. It's not, it was easy to misspell somebody's name And then it just kind of went on from there.
Oh, especially so, if you came to the United States. You know, they go, yes. What's your name?
Bretriovich.
Okay, Mr. Black.
And people still spell my name wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah.
With written, handwritten records and things are changed, lost, and all that. You know, record, there's no telling.
Well, and all the kids were born at home. They didn't go to a hospital and get registered and stuff. The church kept a lot of the records for baptisms and weddings and things, and that's about as good as you're going to get. Anyway, wow. Yeah. We went all over in this show, did we not?
Yeah, we sure did.
We sure did. Then we will go out with the similar kind of random nerdiness. And thank you, Mr. or Ms. Listener, for putting your ears to our show. One more time. We appreciate that very much.
Putting ears right up against the show.
Get in touch with us.
We're inside your head now.
Get in touch with us. 206. We'd like you to get in our heads and share that with the rest of us.
And they were worried about video games ruining people.
206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. You know the number. It's still there. It hasn't changed in 9 years.
Actually, somebody please call it so we can keep it.
Right. Instead of that random... is Bill there? Anyway, thank you for everybody for joining us. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And Julie, you're going to have to do the honors for us. Give me a binary high five right about now.
101.
Thank you. And good night.